Hi there, welcome to this episode. We've been doing the Seven Mistakes series. I hope you've been enjoying it. We've done seven mistakes single ladies make. We've done seven mistakes single guys make. We've done seven mistakes dating couples make. And now we have seven mistakes married couples make. Don't forget, if you have not subscribed to my YouTube channel, subscribe right now so that you can get the videos as soon as they drop. All right, seven mistakes married couples make. I will start with number one, not adjusting from the single life. That's one of the first mistakes married couples struggle with, not adjusting from the single life. You see, if you have lived single for a while, especially those that have maybe particularly enjoyed their single life or got so used to the single life, maybe they lived single for quite a number of years, they usually find it hard to adjust to the married life. The single life and the married life are quite different. All right. And one of the ways you will succeed, you know, in your marriage is by adjusting your mindset from that single lifestyle to the married lifestyle. Marriages struggle when couples don't adjust. It can be from your eating patterns, preference of, you know, what you like to eat, what you like to watch, something as small as, you know, how the toothpaste should be used can even cause a quarrel. The issue is this: you must adjust to the fact that you are sharing your life now with somebody else. As a matter of fact, not just sharing, your life doesn't even belong to you anymore. That's what marriage is, actually a covenant where two people become one. And that means you both own each other. That means your life is like a partnership now. It's no more just yours. So you can't keep using the words like my money, my car, my house. When you get married, it's now our money, our car, our house. All right. I even see people struggle with things like, you know, don't check my phone. You know, I want privacy. These are people that don't understand marriage. They don't want to adjust from the single life to the married life. When you're married, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 2, he said they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were trying to point out something that they both had nothing to hide from each other. That is what marriage is. It requires total transparency, honesty, and openness. You see, so a lot of people want to get married, or let me say they want to enjoy the benefits of marriage, but they don't want to meet up with the requirements of marriage. You need to adjust, all right? You can't still be hiding your password. You can't still be sending flirtatious text messages to the opposite sex. You can't still be calling your ex, for instance. You know, you can't live just as if you were single, even when you are now married. No, there has to be a clear adjustment from the single life to the married life, all right? Boundaries, who visits you, who stays over, your extended family. To what extent can they be involved? You now have a new family. So there's need for that mental adjustment. I actually heard a lady that after some weeks of getting married, she said she was homesick. She still thought her parents' house was at home. No, she was in her home. You can't be homesick right in your own house. All right, so the point is this: you need to adjust. All right, so what are the wisdom points? Number one, realize married life and the single life are actually different. All right, you need to realize they're different. Realize that the married life and the single life is different. You must know that they're different. They're not the same thing, all right? You can't carry on your normal lifestyle and just continue now that you're married. You must do some, there must be some adjustment. Number two, list key areas you need to adjust. What are the areas you're struggling? What are you struggling with in terms of adjusting? What are the areas you're struggling to adjust? What are the areas your spouse is complaining about, you know, that you're not adjusting fast enough? So list those areas. Number three, set practical steps to adjust in those areas. So if you're still hiding your phone, it's time to share your password with your spouse. It's time to discuss financial issues. Your spouse needs to know basic things about you, how much you earn, you know, your email passwords. You guys need to be operate like a married couple. You're now one. You know, carry each other along with things, decisions you're about to make. Don't just make decisions and inform the other person. You carry them along. So set practical steps, you know, in working on this adjustment. So point number two. Second mistake married couples make is expecting it to just work. All right? A lot of people get married and they just expect, oh, marriage is a breeze. It's just going to work. No, marriage doesn't just work. You have to make it work. Many times when I and my wife counsel couples, sometimes we know the couples that will have issues in their marriages. How do we know? We discover some of them, they don't pay attention to the counseling. They don't premarital counseling. They think, oh, we don't need all these things. We're good. We love each other. We usually know they'll come back, you know, because they'll have struggles. Why? They're not paying attention. for marriage to work, you have to be a bit more deliberate than that. You have to pay attention. You have to make it work. What makes me laugh is when people come and say, the marriage did not work. No, it's not the marriage that did not work. It's both of you that did not work it. All right? It's not the marriage that did not work. Nothing works by itself. If the grass is greener on the other side, it's because somebody is watering it and tending it. There's a good gardener making that grass look greener. All right? So the important thing you need to know is that when people get married, usually they start from emotional love. That's where most people start from. So you meet somebody, you're excited emotionally. And after a while, that emotion fades. So at that point, you have to transit from emotional love to intentional love. So this is what happens. At the beginning, you are complimenting your wife. You are respecting your husband. Let me say this way. You are complimenting your fiancé. And your fiancé is also respecting the fiancé. You know, at this point, you are doing a lot of love things, but you are doing it more on an emotional drive. But when you get married, usually the emotion wanes a bit. And you have to switch gear to become more intentional. So now you have to be intentional about complimenting your wife. Because it's very easy to take each other for granted. So move from emotional love to intentional love. Studies found out that 60% of divorced couples are from low conflict marriages. What does that mean? That means they didn't seem to have any major problem. There was no violence. There was no infidelity. They didn't have excessive quarreling. What just happened was that they were not just intentional in building the marriage. So learn about each other. Try to be deliberate about complimenting each other, date nights, being respectful, being kind. Those things you did at the beginning, be more intentional now that you're married to continue to do it. You know, that's what makes it work. Invest deliberately in the marriage. Don't just think you're going to stumble on a great marriage. It doesn't work like that. You have to invest in it. So what are the wisdom points? Number one, put deliberate effort into making the marriage work. So, hey, what are we going to do? This is what we'll spend time together. I'll compliment my wife every day. I'll kiss my wife every day. Be more deliberate about what you want to do. All right. Number two, learn about the needs and roles of men and women. You know, don't assume you know what your wife likes. Don't assume you know what your husband likes. Take up time regularly to learn about marriage. Learn about your spouse. Learn about men. Learn about women. That will help you understand. Now, I'm a marriage coach. I've been married for a while, but I still need to have a refresher course from time to time. So I keep learning. That's how to keep to stay at the cutting edge of your game. All right. All right. Third mistake that married couples make is avoiding counseling. All right. Somehow people just see counseling from a negative standpoint. Many people just see when you mention counseling, they think you are trying to say that they're bad people or their marriage is terrible. That's not what counseling is. Counseling is actually a very positive thing and it can be very helpful. So I encourage couples, whenever you feel you need counseling, please make sure you embrace it. Don't be in that frame of mind where you think, you know, counseling is negative. It's only for people that are very bad or that when something really bad has happened. No, the Bible makes it clear that where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's Proverbs 11, verse 14. It said, where no counsel is, the people fall. It said, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So if you really love your marriage, be willing to invest counseling in it, all right? Counseling doesn't mean your marriage is failing, but that you love your marriage too much to allow it to fail, all right? Counseling doesn't mean your marriage is failing. It just means that you love your marriage so much that you don't want to allow it to fail. Don't wait till it's too late to begin to seek counsel. That's a mistake people make. People wait till the damage has been done that and one party has already given up and then they want to seek counsel. They wait till one party wants to leave the marriage and then they want to seek counsel. No, whenever you sense a strain, whenever you sense you guys are no longer understanding each other, whenever you sense you need a spark, you can go for counseling. Don't see it from a negative standpoint. I've been a marriage counselor for over two decades now, and I've written many books. I've been married for a while. But I still, once in a while, talk to my mentors, all right? I give my wife a permission when we are dating that, look, at any time if you feel you can't reach me, this is my mentor, this is the person you need to talk to. So create that kind of a platform where you guys have somebody, all right, that you can talk to. What are the wisdom points here? Number one, agree you will be open to counseling if needed. So both of you need to agree that, hey, if for any reason, at any point in time, one party or both of us feel we need somebody to speak with us, somebody to interpret for us, somebody to encourage us, let's be willing to do it, all right? You might not need it right now, but it's important you agree that we can get counsel when we need it, all right? Because sometimes I discover either one or both parties struggle with agreeing to get counsel. Sometimes it's the man, sometimes it's the woman. I've seen those both cases where one party is not willing to go for counsel and the marriage is not going well, but they're not willing to get help. So agree right now. Now, hey, whenever we feel we need to get help from outside, let's be willing to do so. Okay, number two, do we have anyone we can talk to? Do we have anyone now that can counsel us in case we need counseling? Is there anybody around us? Is there any known counselors? Anybody we follow their teachings or their, you know, books or something like that? So have somebody already, even if you don't need it now, but have an idea of whoever you need to talk with if the need arises. Number three, talking to your family might not always be the best option. Now, it's a good option in some cases where the family can be objective and they are mature, either in the knowledge of a marriage or spiritually. But in most cases, it's not so. Be okay, be willing to pay for professional counseling. Be willing to do that. Be willing to pay. It's still a struggle for most people of color. They still don't see the value of counseling. They just believe, you know, what are they going to tell me? No, my counseling has saved a lot of lives. The Bible makes it clear that the multitude of counselors, there is safety. It has saved a lot of lives. So don't insist that it must be your family member that would counsel you. Sometimes it works, but most of the time, from our experience, it's not always a great idea. What are the reasons? Number one, sometimes the family member might not be objective. So if you're talking to your husband's father or your husband's mother, she might tend to support her son. All right, human beings are like that. We're emotional beings. All right, so they tend to support their own family member. They might not be objective. Another reason why it might be bad is that there's a level of information you might be skeptical about giving your family member. So let me give you an idea. So your wife insults your mother. So people are having an argument and your wife insults your mother. So you go for counseling with your mother. So are you going to tell your mother that she insulted you? You see, if you say that kind of thing, even when you guys have settled and you're back in love, your mom might not forgive. Your mom might find it hard to move on. So you are sowing seeds you might not find easy to retrace, all right? So that's why I generally don't, I'm not such an advocate for telling your family members, because they might not move on as fast as you. But a neutral party is always the best, all right? Point number four of seven mistakes married couples make. This is mistake number four. Focusing only on what is not working, all right? Focusing only on what's not working. Some people fall into that trap of just focusing and dwelling on the one thing that is not working. Meanwhile, there might be other things working in the marriage. There's nobody that is perfect. There's no day you're going to marry a perfect person, no matter who you marry. Even if you leave this marriage and go to another marriage, you meet a person, a man or woman with flaws. That's the mistake people make. So there's nothing like, oh, I can never take this anymore. You know, I have to leave this marriage. You will still meet people with flaws. Nobody is perfect. People will generally need time and love to grow and to change. That's how life works. All right. So don't focus on the one or two things that are not working right now. Ask yourself, why did you marry this person? What is working? What are the good sides of this person? Because focusing on what is not working will just get you frustrated, get you tired, and cause resentment. So, hey, look at that person well and say, is there anything that is working? I know some people have very bad marriages, but the truth is that sometimes there's always some good sides to it. If you can focus on the good sides, you will draw strength to deal with the sides that need to change. So don't dwell totally on just the sides that are not working. All right. That will make you a nagging person, a complaining person, and to wear you out. Now, wisdom points. Number one, focus on what's working. Hey, so ask yourself, what is working in this marriage? What are the good things? If your husband raises his voice when he speaks, but you can focus on the fact that he's a hardworking person and he pays the bills. Maybe your wife, I don't know what your wife does, but maybe she annoys you in one area. You need to focus on what does she do well? Is she a good mother? Is she caring for the kids or whatever it is? So basically, focus on what is working. All right. Number two, choose your battles wisely. Choose your battles wisely. It's not everything that is worth fighting over. As a married person, you must learn to be tolerant. You must learn to tolerate. All right. It's just the way marriage works. So you can't choose to fight over every single thing. Choose your battles wisely. Ask yourself, is this worth fighting over? What am I trying to gain? Many people win the fight and lose the war. In other words, they win this fight and they lose their marriage. So they lose the peace in their marriage over little things that they could have let go of. So, hey, choose your battles wisely. All right, next point. Number five. Okay, seven mistakes married couples make. This is mistake number five, not doing things together. All right. So married couples are not doing a lot of things together, not doing things together. The way love works is that love grows and love too can die. We make the mistake of thinking because we were in love when we started, that love is just going to be there forever. No. Love grows and love also dies. In other words, you have to become deliberate about doing things together. The Bible says two shall become one. That becoming is a continuous thing you must keep doing to stay as one. All right. Because everything is trying to pull both of you apart. Your work schedules trying to pull you apart, kids trying to pull you apart, life in general is trying to pull you apart. So you have to be conscious about coming together. Two need to become one. All right. Studies show that couples that spend at least 5 hours together in a week usually have successful marriages. That means you spend 5 hours, not at the same time, but throughout the week, 5 hours of spending quality time. All right. Not just that, oh, we go home together and we're just talking. Not that. I mean, real quality time where we are spending it with each other deliberately. They said couples that do that generally have successful marriages. And they found out that not many couples are able to achieve that amount of time. By the time you both go to work in the morning, you get back in the evening, you are tired, you watch the news, watch sports, take care of the kids. You find out you're not spending so much quality time. And the marriage eventually just begins to drift apart. So, hey, be more deliberate about doing things together. What are some of the things you can do together? Anything, like taking walks together, going to the gym together, eating together, dinner, whatever it is, lunch. There was a couple in I heard about that the husband goes to the wife's office to have lunch with her at lunch break. That's how they keep it together because they live in a busy city. And life is just busy, but they try to meet to have lunch every day. So that's amazing. So practical things like that. You can have lunch together. You can have a bath together. Then definitely you need to have sex. Very important. All right. Studies have also shown that a marriage where they go 1 week without sex usually shows that there's a strong disconnect. All right. So at least you need to have sex weekly. All right. Keep it going. Do things together. Pray together. Go to church together. Whatever it is, but do more things together. Because that helps you to bond, all right? Don't assume that the marriage will be strong just because both of you are in it. You must keep coming together. So that's the mistake some couples make. They don't do a lot of things together. Wisdom points. Number one, what can we do together? What can we do together? Make a list and say, hey, what can we do together that can work? Can we ride to work together? Can we go to the gym? Can we take walks together? Can we have a joint account? We always encourage that. You see, the point is that anything that makes you guys come together, because when you run your money and your finances differently, it means you can make decisions without your spouse. But when you guys keep your money together and spend your money together, you always have to kind of carry the other person along. That helps the bonding, all right? That helps the bonding. So what can we do together? Make a list of that. Next point, plan to do them. Plan to do them. So, okay, now that we decided we're going to take walks together, when can we take these walks? What do we need to do? What do we need to do? Number three, manage interference. All right. So as you're planning to do things together, there will be chances of things coming up. So things like maybe the kids plan it. If your guys are going on a date night, for instance, make sure you properly plan for who and how the kids will be taken care of. Things like work, make sure, they don't call you from the office or things like that. So manage things that can come between you guys, especially the time you're spending together. Be deliberate about spending time together. One of the things I and my wife do in spending time together is that sometimes when we go out together, maybe we'll go to church or somewhere, and we get back home, we try to sit in the car for a few minutes together and just talk. The car is a small space. It allows us no little distractions because everybody has gone inside the house. The kids have gone inside the house. We're just together in the car. Small space, no phone distraction, no television. And we just talk a bit before we go. Because once we get into the house, the children will happen, television will happen. We need to eat and all that. So basically plan it and watch out for, manage things that can cause interference. All right, next point. Point number six. We're still on seven mistakes married couples make. And this is mistake number six. Taking each other for granted. Taking each other for granted. This is very common. Like they say, usually, once there's familiarity, there's a great chance for contempt. So once we start sitting together, there's a great chance because of the routine and everything, we get to the stage where we're no longer paying attention. All right. Marriages drifting apart is so common and so easy. Most times, infidelity and things like that are born out of that level of complacency. We just drift apart, start taking each other for granted. You're no longer paying attention to how you look. You're no longer paying attention to complimenting your spouse, to buying gifts, to not remembering birthdays, anniversaries. You know, you're getting too comfortable. All right. Don't take each other for granted. Human beings, you know, have needs, and you are there to actually meet each other's needs. All right. You are there to meet each other's needs. Human beings have needs. Don't ever make your partner need to fight or beg you for what is theirs. You know, there are some people that need to fight for their spouse's attention. He's too busy with work, busy with church, busy with a lot of things, and gives no attention to his wife or her husband. So don't let your spouse need to fight for what is theirs. You're always on the phone with people all over the world, but you're not talking to the person lying or sitting next to you. Don't ever make them fight or beg you for what is theirs. You know, don't get to the stage where you guys go weeks and weeks without having sex, without cuddling, without kissing, you know, things like that. You are taking each other for granted. Human beings have needs, and part of the blessings and purpose of marriage is to actually to meet those needs. Apostle Paul said in the book of Corinthians that even before you fast, you need to ask the consent of your spouse before you fast, so that you will not put them in this position where, because of the need for sex, they fall into sin. So that is trying to show you that we are meant to meet each other's needs. Attention, love, care, you know, don't get to the stage where your spouse is always complaining that you're not doing a certain thing, complaining, and you are letting it go. You're letting it slide all the time. All right, don't drop the ball that way. Once your spouse is saying, hey, I don't feel we spend enough time together, I don't feel you love me, I don't feel you help me, I don't feel you support me, ask them and look for how to help. Divorces don't come because of difficult situations. Divorces come because people are unwilling to change. Jesus Christ said that. They asked him one time, now, why did Moses allow us to divorce our spouses? And Jesus said, from the beginning, it was not so. That Moses only allowed you to divorce because of the hardness of your heart. In other words, because you were unwilling to respond to the needs. You were unwilling to change. All right. You can make mistakes. I understand that. But once your spouse has started complaining about a certain thing over and over and over again, it's not fair to take them for granted. It's the right thing is to move and meet that need. All right. Wisdom points. Ask your partner, you know, what they expect of you. Ask what your partner expects of you. So have this conversation from time to time. Communication is key. So ask them from time to time, hey, is there something I should be doing that I'm not doing? Is there something I can do more of? Is there something I should be doing less of? So your spouse will tell you, oh, you watch television too much. Oh, you chat on the phone with people too much. Or you do so on. You spend time too much with your boys. You know, I need to spend more time at home with me and the kids. You know, things like that. Ask your spouse. Communication is key. All right? Communication is key in every relationship, especially in marriage. So ask your spouse, what do you expect? What do you want? Because unmet expectations can be a terrible thing. Number two, when they tell you what it is, just do it. Simple as that. Just do it. If you are willing, the marriage will work. Just do it. If say, hey, I want you to have a bath before you sleep at night, just do it. If I want you to cook more, just do it. If I want you to help with the kids, just do it. Like Nike says, just do it. So ask them what they want. Then respond. Respond. Do it. Point number seven. We're still on seven mistakes married couples make. And this is the point number seven. It is not letting God in. All right? Not letting God in. Marriage is not a natural thing. It's not something you can do in your power. The level of forgiveness and selflessness that is required in marriage is not naturally easy to do. That is why you need to let God in. You see, both of you need to have something bigger than the both of you inside that marriage. You know, marriage is not, it doesn't work because I just focus on my spouse or I focus on, or focus on each other. No, we are too small to be the whole reason why we are together. Marriage is not, you know, a destination. It is actually an assignment. Marriage is not a destination. It's not where we're going. Marriage is what is just something taking us to where we're going. All right. It's an assignment we have. So you can't just focus on just meeting needs alone, even though that's important, but that's not all it's about. There has to be something bigger than both of us in this union that keeps us going. All right. The Bible says a threefold cord that is not easily broken. A threefold cord. And God is that top party in it. So a marriage where the two people see themselves as being accountable to God always goes better. Because beyond your spouse, you also know that you have God. You know, there are things you can do and your spouse might not complain. Or there are things you can do, you can get away with it with your spouse. But you know that God that you're accountable to, you know, you can't get away with it. So marriage always works better when there's there's that connection with God. All right. So wisdom points. Number one, go to church together and serve. It's important that both of us learn how to serve. We learn how to be selfless. That's one of the benefits of serving in a church. It helps you to be selfless. It helps you not to focus just on yourself. So, hey, do something together that involves God. Going to church together, praying together, things like that. You are focusing your attention on something else other than just each other. All right. Next wisdom point, pray for your spouse. Pray for your spouse. Maybe you're saying, oh, my spouse is not godly. My spouse is not nice. One of the things you can do is to learn to pray for them. All right. When you pray for them from a place of love, there's so much power in it. In fact, as a married person, you are the strongest person that has authority spiritually, you know, over your spouse. So you can pray and God will touch their heart. And number three, live what you preach. So in case you are here and you are saying, oh, my husband or my wife doesn't believe in God, is not interested in things of God, and you are concerned about their salvation, concerned about their relationship with God, one of the things to do is to live what you preach. So in other words, don't focus so much on trying to change them. Instead, focus on you living out what you are preaching. The Bible says in 1 Peter that by your own conversation, meaning by your own behavior, you know, they will change. They are the Bible you see. You are the only Bible your spouse can see. So you need to live right. There are many people that, you know, they want their husbands to start going to church, but they are not living a godly life. Or they want their wives to go to church, but they're not living like Christians. You need to use your life to minister to your spouse, okay? So you live in a way that represents God. If you have a spouse that, you know, totally doesn't like the things of God, doesn't want to hear about videos like this or things that encourage marriage or teach godly principles, one of the things you can do is this. Start to send them either verses of scripture, clips, videos, posts, things like that, that address you, not that addresses them. Now, listen to this, it's important. So let me use myself as an example now. Let's say my wife doesn't like the things of God. So what I would do is that I'll keep sending her videos that talk about how husbands should treat their wives. Okay. I'll show them clips or posts that talk about how husbands should treat their wife. And I will tell him, my wife, that, hey, I just learned this today. I saw this today and I promise to try and do this for you. Very important. Now, you are not telling them what they should do for you. You are not sending them videos that address them. That's the mistake people are doing. Those things will make them more hardened. No, tell them what, how the word of God is blessing you. So if you're a man, for instance, you can send her videos that are saying, husbands love your wife or husbands be romantic. So you're going to tell your wife, hey, I just saw this video and I promise to try and apply this. And I want you to help me to apply this. I want to live this. You see, they will start to see that the word of God is good, especially when it starts to change you. After a while, the day you will have the chance of sending them the one that addresses them, their hearts will be open to receive it. But many people make the mistake of just sending, oh, your husband is not loving you. You send all the scriptures that says love your wife. Your wife is not submissive. You send all the scriptures that says submit to your husband. And you are not doing your own. Don't focus on her. Focus on you. You see, the Bible says by your own behavior, she or your spouse will change. I hope this has blessed you. 7 mistakes married couples make. Please share and send to any of your friends that you know. And don't forget to subscribe so that you'll see more videos when they come. We have loads and loads of the 7 mistakes series, all right? From 7 mistakes single moms make, 7 mistakes singles make online, 7 mistakes, there are so many of them. So subscribe. See you later.